Well, good morning. I just want to tell you that I've been seeing gray, now I'm seeing red. So look out. Anyway, bad joke, eh, Dan? You got the red, buddy. Won't it be nice when we can finally take the masks off? Don't you wish you were living in Texas this week? Yeah. 16 states are taking their masks off this week. Did you see the one that shows a couple that came off a cruise ship? Yeah, I understand there are people who are taking cruises. They came off a cruise ship, and this part of their face had no tan. It was all white, and the other part was all tan. It was really cute. So anyway, it's going to be different to take. You're gonna find as soon as we all get our masks off, we're going to be checking our faces. Who knows what? Anyway, nice to be back. I trust that we'll be back for a while. I trust they won't shut us down again. I was talking to a fellow yesterday in Peterborough, and they've been in green, and Fleming, some of the kids at Fleming had a party last week, and 50 kids got COVID from it all, so they've gone into red. And he says, oh, it's like everybody's getting a detention because of one bad boy. But anyway, I hope we can stay out. Now, did you all, and I realize here we are into March, did you all get a calendar for this year? And we've got some extras, so if you want to take some and put them in your shed as soon as you open it, you know, whatever it takes. And then the daily bread, we've got these now for March. And I've been trying to get around to give them out to people that are kind of housebound. But if you know anybody that didn't get one, will you make sure they have their devotional booklets? So I want to just remind you, we've got a couple of folks for birthdays. And Caleb, he's turning, I think, 10 or 11 years of age this week. So I want to wish him a happy birthday. And Mary Lou has her birthday. So, Rich, thanks for flipping that on me. Upcoming announcements. I want to remind you that we're continuing to do our Zoom get-togethers on Mondays and Thursdays at 1 o'clock. If you can join us, by all means, come along, and we'll have a tremendous fellowship time together. The prayer times, Dan and Joyce and the Clarks host at 1 o'clock here on Mondays. 2 o'clock here on Mondays, and then Saturday night, now that we're open, Saturday night here at 7 for prayer. And just a reminder too, men, we're still meeting for lunch here Fridays at noon, so if you want to join us, bring your lunch or something to eat, and we just sit around a bunch of tables and we talk. We've been having a lot of fun together. Just a reminder too that the Ladies Visionary Group has started on Wednesdays. And Sheila, I understand you're filling purses and things, and so I believe we have, do we have Sue Bages' phone number there? Anyway, phone Sue if you've got a purse that you would like to give to the ladies, and then they're going to be filling them and taking them to the women's shelter. So if I missed anything on that, Sheila, is there anything else?
They're going to the food bank as well.
As the food bank as well, yes. Yes, that's right, okay. So you can speak to Sheila today for sure. Before you leave, anything else we need to bring everybody up to speed on since we've been away? Anything else? Okay. Pardon me? Well, that's under notes for praise. I mean prayer. Okay. All right. And of course, don't forget the offering plates are there on your way out. Feel free to give your gift at that on the way out. All right, let's open with prayer together, shall we? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be together, and we know that there are many in our family that are still feeling nervous about coming out to church, and so wherever they are this day, would you bless them? Would you give them a sense of your presence, and may they feel included because we're all a family together. And so, Lord, as we have this opportunity, we do not take this privilege lightly. And we are pleased to be able to sing and praise your name together with others who love you. And so we ask you to bless the music team and our leadership as they come and lead us in worship. And, Father, we want to remind ourselves that you're the reason we're here. And so would you help us to focus all our thoughts and all our attention on the reason that we are here to worship. Bless each and every person now in this time together. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. It is so nice to sing with people. I mean, music that's canned, as I call it, is fine. But, you know, as we were singing that last song, and I could hear you singing across the room, it just blessed me. So we have some notes of praise. First of all, Monica is doing really well. She is starting her chemo, but she is thanking the Lord for everything that he has done for her. And Paul Bingle, he has his chemo is going well. And he's one of the most upbeat guys I know. Like, he's just amazing. And every second week, they're able to come up to the cottage. So he comes out on Friday to have dinner, have lunch with all the fellows. And boy, when he gets going, I can't keep up with him. And I'm going, and I'm not on chemo. But, I mean, amazing what the Lord's done. Dorothy is having to have some tests. They found a lump, and so she's having to go through some extra things. So if Paul's isn't enough, Dorothy's having to deal. So I don't know. And she says, well, the Lord will bring me through. And I'm going, well, bless your heart, girl. But sometimes you go, I don't want to get out of bed. I just shut her down. So anyway. And David and Mark and Colin and Ted, they've all apparently had their vaccines. And so I'm sure we're trying to negotiate that whole scenario, each one of us. And then for prayer, Monica starts her actual radiation on Wednesday. And I also would like to pray for a young man. I don't know if you heard, but at just two streets down from us, there was a stabbing. And so a 20-year-old. And so he went off on the run.
The suspect.
Pardon me?
The suspect.
Yeah, the suspect. What did I say? You know, I found being housebound, I'm really in trouble. I flip my words. My thoughts don't come out properly. Are any of you experiencing this? Or? Good.
I think it's just called marriage.
Is it called marriage?
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it's more like old age. Like, I've been trying to mask that for years, Doug. Anyway, seriously, he stabbed a person in the two streets down from us, and he was on the run all night, and the helicopter was circling all night, and of course, till 2 o'clock in the morning, he was circling, and so they think the fellow is, they had the dogs out, they had the SWAT teams out, and of course, my neighbor, who's a retired fire captain, and I, we went out and stood on the driveway, because we didn't want to miss any action, and of course, Jane was talking to her sisters, and her sisters told her, lock the doors. If he's going to go out, you lock the doors. He can stay out. You know, I thought, well, boy, that's loving sister-in-laws. But anyway, and the cruisers were going up and down the street. It was really exciting because I found being isolated in the house, anything is exciting now. I mean, oh, look, a police car with lights. But I had an interesting chance to witness to my neighbor last night as we were out there talking. And standing and just waiting to see if something was going to happen. So I think we're moving more and more into the days where one-on-one is going to be a big thing for all of us as we're still isolated. So take the opportunities to talk to people that you're near and just listen to what they're saying. Went rushed into surgery, young father, young man. Family, I think they have several children, and there are others in the house. So two of the houses this morning are all roped off. Police are still around them, but he came through the surgery. We don't know who's living near us, and so we really, more than ever, we need to pray for people on our streets. We really do. We don't know the tensions in the houses. We don't know what's going on, and we're feeling really committed to wanting to pray more than ever for our subdivision. So for yours too. And I think we should pray for all the kids and all the teachers that are in school. I can't imagine trying to teach in this environment and just, you know, I think there's a lot of children that are just disappearing through the cracks. And I know Becca, she's on Zoom all day. She's exhausted doing Zoom with everything. And will you stand with me and let's just lift these things up to the Lord together, shall we? Father, we stand together because we acknowledge that you are God. You're our Father. That you have a great love for every one of us. And Lord, it's difficult when we can't be together regularly, when we can't update and we can't be praying in person for one another. Lord, I was so thrilled as the elders met with Bob Rayford this week on his driveway and prayed with him. And we miss these opportunities. And to hear of Leland being dedicated to the Lord and having a service of dedication together, that's just fantastic. Father, we appreciate the opportunity to be together. And for those of our family that aren't here today, Lord, bless them and keep and watch over them and protect them. Various health issues. We think of Monica. We think of Suzanne. We think of Dorothy. We think of Paul and others that are going through scenarios where they have ongoing health issues. We pray for Steve and the recouping of his body, for Susan as she is recouping, Lord, and for those that are going through medical issues and scenarios. Be with Dorothy as she has these tests this week, and Monica, she has her chemo. Father, we pray for Colin and Marg as they prepare for the permanent arrival of their son in their home to live with them, and trust that'll be a real blessing. We pray for Donna's cousin's husband, Dick, and Lord, these days are precious, and we don't want to take them for granted, and his life is coming to a close rapidly unless you intervene. And so, Father, we're appealing to you for this man, that you would touch him in a profound way, in a life-changing way. Father, we pray for the Irmgard's and Kurt's granddaughters in the issues they're trying to deal with their dad, and we pray for their dad, that he would find Christ in such a powerful way. And Lord, we pray that in some way the communication would be such that there is no fear in talking. And so be with Amelia and Vanessa as they're trying to sort things out, as they have to talk to this lawyer. Father, may they be able to express clearly what they feel and what they think. And Father, you continue to lead us as we head into this new week. Here we are halfway through the month of March. And we pray that you'll give us clear direction, that you will be very close to us, that we'll sense your presence. And Lord, many of us are tired in so many different ways. And so we need not only spiritual rejuvenation, we need physical, mental, and emotional rejuvenation. Would you provide that for us? May we sense your presence, even as we sense it here today. And so, Lord, bless each and every one in our families, wherever they are, friends, those we love. And also we do, as we conclude this service, pray for this young man who is on the run because of a stabbing, the young man that is also recouping in hospital because of that event. And Lord, we do pray for our neighbors. We don't know what's going on in their homes. And so, Lord, would you be gracious? And if we can have opportunities to share our faith with people, would that be possible? And so we just thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And we know that what you do is always perfect. Lord, we may not be able to see beyond a day or so, but you see into eternity. And in that, Lord, we have confidence. And so bless each and every one of us now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Bless the Lord. You may be seated. Well, I got to tell you, it sure is nice to preach to you again. I didn't say preach at you. I said preach to you. It was tough last week again, preaching to these empty chairs. They just have no feet. Norm, I can hardly wait to hear what you're going to say in the sermon today. I am waiting with excited anticipation how you respond. So on this 14th day of March, here we are halfway through the month on daylight savings time, and I think we're all exhausted because we had to spring forward. And so here as we head into a new week, I want to share with you a couple of ideas that have profoundly affected me this week. And I want to preach on the topic of judging. And I trust that this will be a blessing to you. What's interesting is that when Jesus first gave his very first sermon, and Matthew records it in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus just tackles a myriad of topics. And it's fascinating. He talks about, you know, don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. I mean, he zeroes in on people and their needs. And then the transition at the end of chapter 6 is, and then what? Seek, and you'll see it, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And you think, amen, that's good, we're good. And then in chapter 7, in verse 1, he now tackles, okay, let's talk about how you relate to other people. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God, and you've got your eyes correctly focused on that, now let's talk about how you go horizontally and deal with people. And here's what we have in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So I read this week, and I went, wow. Fascinating. Jesus doesn't pull any punches. But I want to be clear on something here. He is not necessarily talking about the judgment concerning sin. And we'll talk about this for just a second. He's talking about how we judge people. All right? We're not judging the sin. Because in 1 Peter 4 and verse 17, it says, for it is time for the judgment to begin where? In the house of God. And it begins with us. And what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of Christ? The key that you and I need to keep in mind is, when it comes to judging of sin, we judge sin to be sin. We're not, in essence, judging the person. We're looking at the sin that is affecting the person. And I think there's a clear distinction. And I think, if anything, what I'm seeing in this COVID time are people are making all kinds of judgments about people. And is it necessarily a judgment based on sin? So let's look at this. So here's an example of a judgment of sin. If judgment begins in the house of the Lord, you remember the situation that Paul addressed in the first letter to the Corinthians. We have it in chapter 5. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. So what's the sin? Sexual immorality. And of a kind that is not tolerated even among the pagans, for a man who has his father's wife, and you are arrogant, you ought rather to mourn. Let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though absent in the body, I am present in the spirit. And if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. So think about that for a minute. What he's saying is, you have a man in your midst, you're calling sin, sin. If he doesn't want to quit the sin, then what do? You literally let Satan sift him that his soul might be saved. Notice he never calls the guy an nincompoop. He's saying the choices he's making are sin-based. You call the sin, sin. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. The reality is that I think what happens is we lose sight of the sin and we start to attack people personally. Oh, he's just a jerk. Why would I? And so what I think is where we're at is the command to judge not, and I've put it on the screen here for you to read, refers to rash, censorious, an unjust judging. It's the habit of forming a private judgment hastily, harshly, and expressing it without examining the facts and the circumstances of the situation. And how often we write people off. And what concerns me is we often believe the first story we hear about a person. And we often don't investigate it. We often don't talk to the person themselves. We don't do any investigating of the situation. We make a judgment call on the person himself or herself. And so what I think happens, we're not trying to help the person. We want to stand aloof and just condemn the person. And I think we're all at times in that boat. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, we get to that situation. So here's an example I was thinking of. So there was a lady here in Wasega Beach back a year ago. It's hard to believe you've been quarantined for a year. What were you doing last March the 14th? I know what I was doing. I was driving north, and the church had just closed for the first time a year ago. And there was a lady here in Wasega Beach. When COVID was first announced as being in the beach, she closed her blinds on her windows for a whole week. And the first thing I heard was, what is she doing? She's got her blinds closed. What, you think the virus is going to come through the windows? But I never heard anybody say, boy, that woman must be really afraid. I wonder what she's afraid of. I never heard anybody say, I'm going to go knock on her door and see if there's anything I can do to help her. Are you with me? Or people make comments like, oh, well, I'm not talking to you if you're wearing a mask. Well, I'm not talking to you if you're not wearing a mask. And I remember when COVID first started, I was saying to Phil and Richard something, I said, we're going to have big fights over masking or unmasking. And it's going to be personal attacks on people versus what are the facts of whatever it is we've been asked to do by the health department. Again, the reality is, are we looking at the person and are we looking at whether or not something is sin, or are we just looking to write somebody off? And I think in this COVID time, when people are very isolated, people have all kinds of opinions. They're kind of expressing in a mumbling form. You know, she still thinks there's a bubble, like a bubble. Bubbles are long gone. Oh, you know, and if I go to Blue Mountain, you know, and he doesn't think I should go, but I could go and eat in a restaurant there in Blue Mountain because it's in green zone. You know, everything then becomes put downs of personalities and issues, and we lose sight of what is actually wrong in God's sight. And so I want you to think about this. And so back to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 2. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will what? What do we have? You will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And then verses 4 and 5, we're back to this idea. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a what? A log in your own eye. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will clearly see to what? Take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now this, have you ever read a scripture and then literally it just came into full bore in your thinking, like just burst into your whole psyche and you just went, oh, I get it now? Well, Wednesday night, I was getting ready for bed, and throughout the day I'd had flashes on the side of my eye, my right eye. And they were like lightning bolts, or you know when a transformer blows and it goes st, st, st. And I was getting these, first of all I thought, well, these, maybe it's my light's catching my eyebrow or something. And this went on, and had supper, and we chatted, played a game, and made a few phone calls, getting ready for bed. All of a sudden this thing really starts zip, 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 zip. So 11 o'clock up to the hospital we go. I'm sitting in the waiting area for the doctor to come in, and all of a sudden across my eye comes all kinds of wiggly, wormy, black, thready things. It looked like a moth in my eye and kept getting worse and worse, and I'm going, oh my goodness, what is this? It's got to be a detached retina. So the fellow comes in. Have you ever noticed now that all the doctors are about like half our age? When did we get that old? Anyway, so this Dr. Stevens come in, and he says, well, let me have a look. And, of course, my blood pressure got up over 160 because, I mean, I'm, you know, I thought, oh, my eyeball's bleeding. And, you know, it was just a mess. Anyway, he comes in. He goes, oh, he says, you got PVD. I got PVD. Yeah, I got posterior vitreous detachment. I said, great, never heard of that one. He says, oh, it's very common. I said, it is? With who? Older adults. You know, at 12 o'clock, 12:30, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Good to know, because I like what my mother used to say, John, I don't feel a day over 21. So he has everything, he's looking through his eye, he says, you're fine. He says, you know, you've just, your vitreous has pulled away from the optic nerve, and we'll get an ophthalmologist to come and see you, and you know, you'll be fine, and all this stuff flying around my eye, and I'm going, oh, crow, what's going on? I understand what a log is. I got it. I got the log issue. I figured it out. It was like this huge revelation. I've been used to floaters. How many of you have had floaters? Okay. And floaters are floaters. They're specks, right? They're just there. They're just annoyances. Now, I found before all this happened to my eye, my specks were getting bigger. I didn't expect it, but anyway. So Jane came back at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, and we drove home, and
And then I got a call from the ophthalmologist to come in Saturday to Royal Vic, and so he had a look at my eye again. My local optometrist, he called me in, and he looked at my eye, and he said, yeah, he says, the back of your eyeball has detached from the optic nerve, and it is older age. I said, will you shut up? I don't want to hear that reality. I'm a young man. And he says, well, yeah. So anyway, so yesterday I went back in, and so they looked at my eye again, and they said, no, you've had bleeding in the back of your eyeball. So then I had laser surgery. And so had that. It was amazing. It really is amazing what they can do medically for you. And I got a chance to witness to the doctor, and then came home yesterday afternoon. But all week, since Wednesday night, this scripture has absolutely mesmerized me, because now I fully see it. I understand a log, and I understand what a speck is. And so then the question came to me this week with all of this, so John, how's your log removal doing? Yeah. Well, being a pastor and practically perfect in every way, I don't have a log to have to remove first. Oh, yeah, come on. Give me a break. Yeah. What hit me in all of this, in the midst of all the surgery and everything, was that in order to remove the log out of your own eye, you have to have such a love for people that you're not focusing on their specs. So the question really boiled down to, when I realized this, is my literal vision showing me that I need to check my heart vision of, am I critical of other people because of some little imperfection, or have I started with myself and am I cleaning house? We just finished singing it in the song Sanctuary. Make me pure and holy. Are we cleaning our own house before we went and look around and see if somebody else has dusted their houses? And so, again, if we're doing what God calls us to do, then we're cleaning our house. Now, that doesn't mean we stop calling sin, sin, all right? Just because you and I are working on the logs in our eyes doesn't mean we still are saying, look, there's an issue here. And we have it case in point with Matthew 18. But notice that it very clearly says in verse 15, if your brother, what? If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. All right? That's not like you're nitpicking, trying to find a speck to bug people about. This is saying, okay, we got an issue. This is coming against me. I want to work with you. And you go and you work between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, then take one or two others along with you, that every charge concerning sin, okay, may be established in the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even in the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. So just, you cut him off. It was interesting. We had a situation in our area a number of years ago where there was a gentleman, very, very wealthy man, who was having several affairs in one of the churches. And so it came to my attention, and I was doing some adjudicating in the situation. But the church, in essence, didn't want to address the situation because he was a good giver. In fact, he called himself a minister of hospitality. And how quickly people can take advantage and be cocky and know they can get away with their sin, when in reality is, as we are walking before the Lord, and you'll see this in the next verse. In the next verse I want to talk to you about Paul in 1 Corinthians 5. Remember, he had us cast out the fellow who was sleeping with his father's wife. And then he says, now that he has repented, in verse 7 of chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. Why? Because the sin was identified, the sin was corrected, now the sin gets forgiven. Take him back in. But how many times do people say, well, I'm not going to welcome that guy back in the church. He was such a jerk. All that stuff he did, I'm not having anything to do with him. When in reality, what's the Lord saying? If the person has confessed and repented, what? Work with them. And love them. In Galatians 6, if any of you is caught in any transgression, any sin, You who are spiritual should what? Should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. In other words, to see him apologize and ask for forgiveness of his sin. But keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted. In other words, if you and I are working on keeping the logs out of our own eyes, that's going to cut down any temptation level to think, well, you know, we're better than him. I mean, that's the whole Pharisee publican. Oh, Lord, I'm not like this man. I give tithes daily. That's the whole reality that Paul's talking about. So bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. James 5, we know this one. Therefore confess your, what? Sins to one another and pray for one another. So if I'm working on the log in my own eye and you're into some situation of sin, then I'm going to what? I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to condemn you. And the prayer is that you might be healed. How many times, maybe you haven't, but sometimes I prayed, oh, Lord, just send the lightning bolts and just fry them. Let's just wrap it up. Like, he's not going to ever change. God goes, oh, yeah? Do you know my will for his life? His perfect plan is that what? Everybody gets healed. And that the prayers of a righteous person, what? What? Prayers of a righteous person have made great power available. And it's a great witness to the world to see how the church treats people. And then Peter says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a... Now notice it doesn't say, and allows the sin to keep on going. It ignores the sin. No, it covers a multitude of sins because we're still looking at the value of a person. I've known people that have said, oh, you know, there's certain people that are notorious sinners in our town, and there's no way I'd ever let them in our church. I go, why wouldn't you? Church is the best place for them. Church is a hospital where sick people are getting better. Amen. Oh, no. I don't know. I don't know. No, no. I mean he'll taint our church. And well, no. If you've got a love for people, then what are you going to be doing? Praying and asking the Lord to touch them and draw them to himself. And so I leave this with you as you head into this week. Are you able to distinguish judging from judgment? And what about the log in your eye? I'm working on the log in my eye. I suggest you work on the log in your eye. And let's see what doors the Lord opens up for ministry, because now we're really interested in loving and caring for people like never before. And so in conclusion, may I give you this. Peter, this is 1 Peter. This is a benediction I give to you. So cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Be firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, I have not been so profoundly touched by an actual scripture as I have been this week, of what it means literally to have a log in your eye. And Father, it has been very humbling for me to have gone through all these experiences this week and realize that you're working in my life, as indeed you're working in all of our lives, in ways that is really pruning and character developing. And Lord, you're reminding me and each one of us that we need to be very clear on what we think about people, how we talk about people, how we talk to people. That we're clear on the difference between judgment of sin versus judging a person just for who they are. And so, Lord, there may be situations that we have to come to grips with this week and ask for your forgiveness concerning. Maybe there's things we have said to other people concerning people that were not true. Or maybe we've said things about people and we have not investigated what the truth is in the situation. And so, Lord, may you just continue to work in our lives. And may we find that our desire is to be pure and holy after you. And so we commit ourselves to you this week and do the work that you need to do, whether it's as real an example as I have experienced or maybe it's something they read in Scripture or they hear from other people. But Lord, our desire is that we might be great ambassadors for you in these days. And so would you be able to feel free to use us in mighty ways for your honor and for your glory. In your powerful name I pray. Amen. Let's stand. I want to conclude with, "Change my heart, O God. Into this week, we want to follow your direction. We want to follow your leading. We want to follow your example. And so may our hearts be true. You're the potter. We're the clay. Mold us and make us in the ways that you want. And we thank you now in your powerful name. Amen and amen.